The dark web is perceived to be the underside of the iceberg for the ne'er-do-wells of the internet, with marketplaces selling counterfeits, weapons, illegal and off-prescription drugs, as well as hacking services and classified information. And despite the volatile nature of cryptocurrencies and their vulnerability to theft, the dark web is booming in popularity.
Joining me now is David Glantz, Director of UWA Centre for Software Practice, University of Western Australia. Welcome, David.
Thank you for having me.
So how did the dark web come about? How long has it been around for?
Well, it's actually technology that was funded by the US Navy initially and looking at mechanisms of keeping communications covert, developed in the early 2000s, essentially adapted as a very easy to use package of software, which includes not only the communications that makes you relatively anonymous, but also a browser that you can access dark web services, hidden services as they're called.
Now, trust seems to be a major component of participating in the dark web's marketplaces and forums. Can you explain this?
Yeah, so the Silk Road, which was one of the first major darknet markets, as they're called, essentially established a mechanism by which you could list various products and services, mostly illegal, on a website very similar to the concept of eBay or Amazon. And essentially, people would select and buy those services or products using Bitcoin or another cryptocurrency, and that allowed for anonymity. So essentially, the cryptocurrency or money was handed over to the market runners, and when the product was actually shipped, they would release the money to the vendor. And so that allowed for buyers to be sort of sure or that they would get the product before the money was handed over. In return, the buyers would rate the vendor, and the vendor would sort of get a rating very similar to eBay or Amazon, in fact. And that would give other people using the market some degree of trust that when they bought drugs or whatever the services, that it would actually arrive and it would be what as advertised.
There's heaps of marketplaces, but most of them don't seem to stick around. And what are the reasons for that?
Well, there's been two main reasons for markets disappearing in the case of Silk Road, and more recently with two markets, Alphabay and Hansa. They were essentially taken down by law enforcement. And so the in the case of all of them, actually, the organizers were arrested, they're in the process of arresting. So that's one main reason. The other reason is that the owners, possibly fearing uncovering or arrest, do what's called an exit scam, which is essentially to take whatever money's been put into their hands in escrow, as it's called, and then just essentially disappear. So if you're trading $600,000 to $800,000 a day of business, as Alphabay was, then at any one time there'll be a lot of money held in these accounts, and so disappearing is quite a lucrative strategy for actually making money and retiring. So the principal reason, though, at the moment is really the actions of law enforcement in terms of uncovering and shutting down these markets.
Now, recent dark web interactions, such as the Medicare card details story, how widely are Australians using the dark web?
With a lot of technology, are up there with the leaders. According to some research, the meth that is sold on the dark web, 25% of that comes from Australia. We're also contributing to things like cannabis and heroin, but to a far lesser degree. So meth is the main thing. But in terms of buying, there will be a large number of Australians buying drugs. So police forces are seeing an increase in parcels and packages containing drugs being shipped across Australia and into the country.
So why might someone want to use the dark web for legitimate purposes?
For legitimate purposes, and this is actually the reason why the Tor group created the software in the first place, was really to give people who had a legitimate reason for anonymity, from, for a whole range of different people, and organizations, you know, that facilitate. So dissidents, for example, in a country suffering repression would potentially use it. Activists that are organizing themselves, but just generally people who are concerned about their anonymity. In Australia, we have metadata retention, for example, and so basically the government and law enforcement are able to track, you know, where we visited on the web, who we've communicated with. If privacy is a concern to individuals, then VPNs, simple VPNs and technology like that will, essentially cover your activity. But Tor is another level of security on top of that.
Thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Thanks very much for having me.